Welcome to the Hardwater Fishing Show. Jeff and Jason talk tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends.
Welcome back to the Hardwater Fishing Show. This is episode 10. It's third week in February, Jeff.
Third week in February, yeah.
And we're actually on location in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Well, just outside Devil's Lake, North Dakota. And we're on the Hardwater Invitational Fishing Trip, our 20th annual. It's been a lot of years. I don't age at all, so I look just like I did the first year.
Yeah, right.
But we're here with some special friends of ours, and they are special. And you've heard a lot about them, so we're going to introduce them. We got our buddy Ole and our buddy Dave. So Ole, tell us a little bit about yourself. Yeah. All right, great, Dave. No, Sean.
It's been fun. We've been doing this for 20 years now. Didn't intend for this to be a annual thing when it all started, but we've somehow managed to make it happen for 20 straight years, which is pretty amazing. It's fun. The adventure level is always varied from year to year. The fishing is usually less than spectacular.
Yeah, that's true.
We continue to do it anyway.
Good job.
We'll get a little bit more to fishing. Fishing later.
Yeah.
and just so those people who think Ole was a character, I recently was fishing with Andy last week, and he said, that guy Ole that you guys made up, he's kind of a character. I said, he's not made up. He's a real person. So just proving that Ole does exist.
And so on to Dave. Dave, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I love fishing. I started ice fishing boating a little over 20 years ago when I moved up north of the cities. So first started with a cordless drill and a hammer getting through the ice when it was thin. And that's how I started.
Cordless drill and a hammer?
Get through the ice when it was thin, walk out there and have a long bit, drill through it,
and
then whack it open.
Old school enough, like there wasn't actually an ice bit attached, right?
No, it was just a cordless drill and a regular drill bit and drill through the hell out of it. And
Dave, you didn't ice fish before 20 years ago?
I lived in the cities where,
The lakes freeze in the city.
I know, but until I moved up north.
And those Lago drill Lake. Bits are still big enough to catch Dave's average catch.
So, and for people that don't live in Minnesota, the cities is the Twin Cities.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we have listeners everywhere.
Yeah.
That's true.
Even in the Republic of Korea. Yes.
Awesome.
So Dave, I'm surprised, I guess, and I didn't even know this, that, you know, you're like super hunter fisher person. You go everywhere to Canada and fishing, and that was the first time you went ice fishing?
Pretty much. You know. Normally I did a lot of summer fishing.
Right.
But in winter, I was always too busy. That's when we had a real Minnesota winter, and you're always snowmobiling, didn't have time to go ice fishing.
It's hard when your hobbies get in the way of your hobbies.
Yeah.
So it's really like fusion, because now we ride snowmobiles to go ice fishing. Yeah. So it's like sport fusion.
Yeah, until now, I live on the lake. You know, 20 years ago, I moved on the lake, and then now I start ice fishing.
Sean, how old were you when you first started ice fishing?
I went with a number of college buddies that you guys all know. In the cities.
There's lakes all over.
On White Bear Lake.
Okay.
And, we had to walk out. We had a long sled, and we had a bunch of firewood and a whole bunch of tip-ups. I don't know that we had any rods.
I was there. Yeah.
I never ice fished before, and I asked, what's the firewood for? Well, we're going to have a fire because we don't have a shelter to stay warm. And it took me a while to wrap my head around that. We're going to light a fire voluntarily on the ice that we're standing around.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we had a pretty good fire, and it maybe put an inch dent in the ice. Then it gets hard to keep going because it just pools.
Yeah.
But we caught a bunch of walleyes on tip-ups that day.
That's cool.
That was probably 1995.
Wow.
That's the first time I'd ever done it.
I did forget to mention that we're actually podcasting in the morning, and yes. So we're not drinking beer this morning because we all have drives. We are having, what the heck's the name of
Cameron's?
That? Cameron's Breakfast Blend Coffee.
We do have butterscotch schnapps that we could be tipping into the glass.
It's right in my cooler next to you, Ole.
And I don't have to drive until 4.
Yeah.
I'm just a passenger, so that should work out just fine.
So, and if you do notice any audio anomalies, we are not recording in our normal place, but we are in a pretty nice cabin situated on Devil's Lake. And so you'll hear some background noise or some audio that sounds different, and that's where that's coming from.
So what we wanted to do today is just recap our fishing experience here at Devil's Lake, North Dakota. None of us have ever been to this lake before. Ole figured out an Airbnb on Devil's Lake. We all did a bunch of internet research on it, except for Dave. Did you do internet research on Devil's Lake? I hate to say you didn't.
And
you
did. I Googled where it was so I could find my route to get here.
Perfect. Which is good.
Because I always end up driving by myself to these places.
Well, that's because he lives somewhere other than where the rest of us live. But I drive by myself, too.
Well, that's because you live in a different country.
Iowa?
Iowa. Called Iowa. Fishing the first... So we do this trip. We started on... Saturday was our first fishing day.
Saturday was first
fishing day. Came up on Friday. Yep. Saturday's our first fishing day. And Jeff, why don't you recap our fishing glory on Saturday?
So, yeah, on Saturday we got here. And this is a new lake. We did our internet research. But... You know, we didn't know any single place. We just took out the map like we usually do, picked a couple spots. We were near 6 Mile Bay, so we picked a couple good-looking spots. Spent the morning trying one spot, drill a hole, put your Vexilar down, and jig. Jason wouldn't jig, but I would. spent some time there, didn't mark any fish, went to another spot, same thing, went to a third spot that was next to some big, tall timber sticking
out. Well, in that spot, Sean, you tell us about that spot, because that was something you had found, right? That you had talked to a guy who knew something about that spot.
The timber spot?
The timber spot.
It was an old road, wasn't it?
Yeah, basically you want to set yourself up right next to what used to be land, and it's got all that structure. So the gravel bars and submerged timber, all of that's going to hold your fish naturally. And if you can find that adjacent to a break, even better. And so we were just trying to key in on your typical walleye haunts or perch haunts and then take advantage of the unique scenarios that Devil's Lake has because of the flood.
With all that, armed with all that strategy, we saw no fish. We got nothing.
We didn't actually drill a hole over there by that next spot.
We did too.
No, we did not.
Are you talking about south of the road?
Yeah, when we went south of the road.
Oh, no, that's a different story.
Because that was a spot that you had.
Yes, yeah, and that fit the exact description. There's all sorts of flooded timber. There's roads. There's telephone poles. I believe it was an old telephone or a power line.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That
those
ran. Yeah.
It was sticking, like, what, 10 feet out of the ice?
Yeah, so that means, yeah. I mean, those are how, 100 foot tall?
And this was not one of the short ones. This was, like, the metal one.
It
like
was three of
the
them.
The three-polar.
Yeah. And then we ran into...
Bridge. There's a bridge out there. Remember that, the top pylon of a bridge out there?
Yep. Then we ran into a guy that shared a number of expletives about... why we shouldn't be where we were.
In a friendly way.
In a very friendly way.
He's like, look. He's like, what are you guys doing here?
Divulged a bunch of great information that we cashed in on for the remainder of the weekend. Tough fishing, right? I mean.
Yeah.
The weather, as usual, never cooperates. But you got to put something on the calendar and make the best of it.
Yeah, I remember Andy when we ran into him, how we go up to his truck and then he's like, what are you guys doing fishing here? There isn't anybody fishing here.
Haven't you noticed you're the only ones here?
We're like, yeah, we're used to that.
We usually seek that out.
Yeah. Well, in this case, he was pretty clear that we were not doing the right thing.
Yep.
So our newfound friend Andy told us we're on the wrong side of the lake.
So we went back, hitched up our snowmobiles and trucks, and drove 30 miles across the lake.
Well, around the lake to an access.
Yeah, because you can't drive around on Devil's Lake because there's roads and bridges. And, I mean, you can't just go from here to there. I mean, you could, but it'd be a...
Oh, and the snow depth this year requires a tracked vehicle. And even with that, when towing your machine, your shacks, you can't go that far without beating everything to death, right?
Because there's a lot of little snow drifts and stuff.
Just drift after drift after drift.
Which, when you're not towing a shack, are fun.
Then I find myself trying to anticipate when Jason's going to goose it. And looking back to see if my auger's still on the rack every time.
So, and this came from, we had four snowmobiles with, so I have to, a special shout out to my sponsor, Dave, who brings a snowmobile for me.
Oh, you're welcome.
We're driving out there, and we always bring four sleds, but as usual, something happens to one, and it was kind of a preventative maintenance thing, but always... start cord was getting frayed and we were afraid it was going to break. So Ole had to ride in the back of a two-up, luckily, of Jason's sponsor, his brother, his snowmobile. So he had his snowmobile and Sean got to ride in the back of that. And that's where
it's been 20 years and we reached a whole new level of closeness.
Yeah, Sean and I'm actually going to start sending him Christmas cards. Yeah.
So we should talk about... some of the tactics we used when we did find the fish here. I mean, we really caught two different species this weekend. We caught perch and walleye. And, you know, once we drove around the lake and went to the spot where everybody was fishing, kind of.
Who had first fish? Wasn't it Sean?
It wasn't me.
I think I caught the one walleye.
Yep.
I marked one.
Oh, that on Friday night. Or Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Yeah.
So you broke the seal.
Yeah.
So what was it like for you to do that? Like, what were you feeling at the moment?
I might actually have a shot at the trophy this year.
That's a
more about that later.
More about that later. Shattered dreams.
So we do some prizes or trophies or awards for our trip, right?
Yep.
Dave, tell us about them.
Oh,
because Dave's helped make a lot of the hardware for this.
Which was a mistake.
Which, thinking back... Was an interesting
soon choice. We'll have a semi-truck just for the trophies.
For the trophies.
The guy that has the most storage should not be responsible.
No. We need the guy that owns a Prius.
All right, Dave. Tell us the trophy situation here.
Well, trophy one is for the biggest fish. Walleye, normally. So I just glued a bunch of boards together and planed them down and routed in. Hardwater Invitational, largest fish, and... then we had a rod that we put on there, but that broke. And then Jason was able to find the old, what is it, green hornet, like in Grumpy Old Men. And so that
magic of the internet.
Yep. And then the other trophy is for the crappiest fisherman. I had an old wood toilet seat. And, you know, my hobbies are welding, so I got a lot of scrap iron around, so I mounted it on a receiver hitch, so it slides right in. It is useful if you go hunting and fishing.
Slides right in, slides right out.
Yep.
We have some really good pictures of Jason sitting on the crappiest fisherman trophy.
And then the other one is...
They're clean. He's got his clothes on.
Sean wanted me to just make, like, one of those huge hooks, you know, like you see in a store, like
that. Like on the cover of Field and Stream.
Yeah. So I just made one hook, and that didn't look quite right. So then I made it into a treble hook. And then I had an idea just looking around in my scrap iron pile. Well, I got this huge wrought iron here, about 4 feet long. And
solid.
And then I have some different size pipe. So I made a rod out of that. Tacked it together and string, and actually, like one of your boat rollers.
That's a boat roller. That's what that is.
I painted red for your bobber, and it's all hooked together. It weighs probably about, I don't know, 75 pounds or more.
And if we ever came across like a stuck Super Duty, we could use it to drag it out.
Yeah, it's a recovery hook.
It's a recovery hook on the side. But that's our species award, right?
Yeah.
So it's like a mixed.
Species.
Yeah, it's like a mixed blessing. Yes, I get species, but oh gosh, I gotta bring this thing home and figure out where to put it for a year. But it's awesome.
But you know, it seems like I am the only one that actually builds trophies.
He does. You are.
You are the trophy builder.
You are.
Well, the original rod, Jeff, I believe, made that rod.
Yeah, but
then we did.
We did together. Yeah, we made that many years ago.
Yeah,
we thought it'd be cool to build our own rods. We built a couple, and that's. Then we went to the store and bought some because it was a lot easier.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work doing all that.
So this year, who's the winner of the trophy of the best fisherman? Or largest fish, sorry.
Largest fish.
Of course, it's Dave. I always outdo, especially Ole.
Yeah.
So it's day three to set the stage. Jason and I have easily outfished Jeff and Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Through the first 2 days, and it's pretty much a tie. I catch one, he'd catch one. I think it was actually in reverse. He'd catch one, I'd catch one. But we're going fish for fish, while the other two were scraping one or two. And so I'm thinking, I actually have a shot, because I caught the different species first.
Yep.
And
you did.
So far, I've got the largest walleye, which I feared was not going to cut the mustard because it was only a 14 and a half.
Yeah, large was in quotes.
Yes. And then 5 o'clock yesterday, the third day happens, the wheels fall off. I catch two. Jeff caught one. And then Jason goes on a spree and catches 13 walleye over the next hour. And in the middle of that, as always, Dave pulls one miracle.
The miracle hole.
Shows up with a 16 inch, and I said to Jason, every year, the 11th hour, he pulls one out. He gets the crappiest, but he gets the biggest fish at the same time.
I think he's got a live well in there, and he just catches it and hangs on to it and just waits to the end to crush your
dreams.
We're
going to have to do bag checks going forward.
I go for quality, not quantity.
But some of the tactics we used this weekend on finicky fish.
Maybe the more pathetic thing is he put a 16-inch walleye knowing that would get it done. I know. It doesn't say much for us.
No. I mean, we were catching a lot of walleyes, but not much for size.
No.
We call those Iowa eaters.
Iowa eaters.
No, so we started off with perch, though. We started walleyes on Friday or Saturday night
at
the walleye spot.
Yeah.
And then Saturday morning we went and targeted jumbo perch.
Yeah.
And I mean, we caught not a lot because it was a really slow bite, but we caught some really nice ones. I put one picture of one I caught out on Instagram. So that's been out there. And it's on Facebook too, if you want to see a picture of it. But I've never seen jumbo perch like this. They are just the craziest looking, coolest looking fish.
They're huge.
A new personal best perch for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
For everybody here. Yeah. I mean, that was the biggest perch I've ever caught.
I don't remember. I might have.
I've never seen
so long. It's like, we don't even know our know our ages around here, right?
We don't talk about age anymore.
It's just a number.
Until the first one gets a senior citizen discount, then they're buying every meal.
Well, then we can get an ARP discount at places. That'd there be cheaper. You go.
Yeah, we're a little ways away from that, but yeah, that'll be nice. So for perch, what do you think our number one tactic was? What do you think was the most successful for catching those buggers?
It was varied. I mean, I used a red hook and like literally the key was a bobber. They bit so light. We went through all these different ways to catch them. And I'm not used to fishing with a bobber, but I had to put a bobber on. Otherwise, I couldn't catch them because they'd come and they'd just nibble on your line and you couldn't get them. So once I put a bobber on, you'd let that bobber sink down until it got pretty far. Like I missed one that got the bobber to the bottom of the hole, but
holy smokes, you let it go down that far.
Yeah, they were so slow. I mean, and so
he was sleeping.
So the bobber to me was something that I had to use, and I used a red hook, but I felt like I threw the tackle box at him, right? Like I tried everything I had in my tackle box, quite literally, not every color, but every type of lure. And I don't know, it just didn't seem to make a big difference. I went with the red hook, and that's what seemed to work for me.
And I actually changed hooks. Normally, I'm the one to hold out and fish with the same one because they will come if you fish for them.
But they didn't.
No, they didn't. They did.
Dave, you had a drop chain, right? It was like
I got a drop chain, and then I finally caught one.
Yep, it was like a perch jig that had little glow sections in it. It was, and then it has a drop chain and then a treble hook at the bottom.
That was from my wife. It was pink.
It was pink. Oh, yeah, it was pink.
Pink was a color. So Jeff and I were sitting in different shacks. I was fishing with Ole. Jeff was fishing with Dave in the flipovers. And Jeff and I came to the bobber separately from each other, but both for the same reason, because they were biting so light. And I don't know, maybe if you had one of those newfangled noodle rod things, you could have figured it out with that. But the bobber was...
like a quiver stick.
A quiver stick, yeah, the... bobber was the way to go with what we had. But they were doing the whole dance where you jig, they come in, they look at you, they follow it around, and then they leave.
Sometimes they'd smoke it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you had to make them chase it. But more times than not, you just had to leave it alone.
Yep.
And after you enticed one to bite, it took a lot of patience to just trust that it was going to take your bobber down and leave it alone. Sometimes you did twitch it. Not lift it, just twitch it. But it seemed to vary so much that it was hard because you never knew what's this fish going to want. And so it felt like half the time if you left it alone, they just swam away. And if that happened in the walleye shack, I just watched my partner catch them all.
And I, you know, when we were fishing for perch, I went all the way down to a tiny tungsten jig with like a little red bloodworm on it. And they wouldn't bite that. But when you let it alone, they would bite like on a buckshot, a medium-sized buckshot with a whole minnow. If you just let it real slow, they would take that bigger presentation. You know, so it's kind of counterintuitive where we always talk about a fish are running away on you to downsize your presentation, they'll bite. That wasn't the case. They wanted the steak. They just didn't want to eat it fast, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. And I really don't know if it was the color or the hook or anything, because at the end of the day, you look at what we got them on and
different things.
The whole tackle box actually worked at some point.
Sunday night, you were fishing with a plain hook for walleyes, when we were on walleyes.
Yeah.
And I was using a jigging wrap, one of those airplane jigging wraps with all the hooks on all sides of it. And we caught almost the same amount of fish. With two way different presentations. The only common thread was a whole minnow.
Right. Two of them came on a tip-up.
Yeah. That's right. Tip-up box. We got to talk about this. We got to diverge. So we had a challenge this year. A hard water challenge that Sean Ole came up with. Ole, tell us about that challenge.
We started fishing with tip-ups 20 years ago, way more than we ever had. Or we've kind of gone away from the tip-ups for the most part.
Because we're getting lazy in our old age.
So being our 20th anniversary, it was kind of like go back to where we started. And we knew we could use twice as many lines in North Dakota as Minnesota. We definitely would want to be running tip-ups to get more wet lines because you can't have that many in a shack. And the forecast was going to be cold, so having a heat source for a tip-up seemed like the thing to do. And so we built boxes with a heat source, and they worked for those that were built.
Yeah, there was a couple of us that didn't really subscribe to the spirit of this.
I made myself a heater.
I will
pour my tip on.
Give Dave
a hand warmer and a tuna can
in one of these new
I think a hand warmer and a tuna. Yeah. Did you eat the tuna or did you feed that to the cats?
No, actually, we had the tuna, so I'd eat the tuna.
That's good to be green. Didn't waste.
And it was in one of those new firehouse, looks like a big old cone, you know?
Yeah.
Safety cone, so it held the heat in. It didn't freeze in, so it worked.
It
for
did.
The whole 20 minutes that thing was down, it did not.
The hand warmer still worked.
How was that firehouse thing to put up?
Pretty simple.
Was it pretty slick? Because they get decent money for those.
Yeah.
They're about $100. Yeah.
Unless you know someone. But
yeah, right. If you have somebody on the inside.
But most of us do not have inside people. We do not. So.
But yeah, it's just, you just fold it down like a, sort of like an umbrella.
Okay.
And then just... Your hook, there's a magnet on top. You drop your line in there and close it up. It holds your hook in there so it's not flopping around and you don't have to fasten it anywhere. And just pull it out, fold it out, drop your hook, set your depth. You're done.
So pretty easy and quick.
Pretty easy. Bank it a little bit so it stays warm.
Uh-huh.
Use a tuna can with a hand warmer so it doesn't freeze in. And it works great.
Good. This is an audio show. They can't see your hand.
Well, I was looking at Jeff. I wonder if he does that by himself at home with all his hand gestures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You get into it. We have video. Jason and I are connected by video.
We can see each other on the podcast. Like we can now, all four of us sitting there at the kitchen table. And at some point, we'll probably go live to YouTube when we do these.
Yeah,
that'd be
scary.
People weirdly just sit and watch people talk on YouTube. It's a thing. And I keep telling Jeff it's a thing.
I didn't make one because I was up till 1 in the morning for 3 hours editing our last podcast before the trip. So that was the sacrifice I made, was editing the podcast instead of making a box. Oli,
when did you send out that email?
Which?
No, the one about, hey, we're going to do the tip-up thing. Let's look at a calendar, shall we?
I don't know. Probably December or something.
December. And this is February?
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, on my point, I did.
I'm busy. All right.
Busy. I did build a box. I built a wonderful cargo sled with skis.
A very nice
to
cargo
handle
sled.
Jeff's new insulated fold up shack.
Which we didn't use.
We used it the first day, which hauled your.
No, the
box,
shack.
Yeah. Which hauled your boxes around in it. Yeah,
but
so
we
therefore,
didn't use the boxes.
Yeah. But therefore, that was my. Box.
That was your. So we could have just flipped it over and thrown a candle underneath.
You could have.
You could have sat underneath it and just fished.
You could have.
Could put a campfire on it.
This one I built, actually, we'll try to build it lighter so it wouldn't get buried.
It worked good, really well.
Because we had 3 feet of snow in it.
Yeah.
Didn't bury like that last one that used to go into the deep slush.
Well, that one was a universal one. I used to, you know, put tires on it and fill it full of wood too, so it was a little heavier than what I wanted for.
Now it looks like a coffin with skis.
Which, as we get older, we may have, unfortunately, occasion to use. if someone goes down, we got something we can throw them in and drag them back.
All right, remind me to get a picture of that thing before we leave.
So Sunday, Monday, we went out and we went back to our perch spot where we caught perch, and we tried some different spots in there, but it was just slow.
So I thought for sure after we figured out the bobber thing, because we figured out the bobber thing really late, I thought for sure, I'm like, we've got it dialed in, we know the spot, we know how to fish them, and we went there, and...
And we had our souls crushed once again. They just were not biting. And we even had a visit from a fella we met at the bait shop who's... That takes me to these snow bear things. Let's talk about these things for a minute.
Oh, the snow bears.
So there are these snow bear machines all over Devil's Lake. And they are, on one hand, the coolest machine. On the other hand, they're kind of creepy.
They're $60,000 a piece.
Plus,
yes.
But they are the coolest machine. They're these, like, they're made out of, they have a fiberglass body on them. They have double tracks and skis in the front. They've got, so the guy sits in the front captain's chair with us, and there's a steering wheel and joysticks and whatever to run these things. And they've got a bench usually on one side, and they've got chairs on the other. And they've got holes, four holes or more inside these machines. And they cruise around the lake, and they're pretty quiet. They're run by a snowmobile engine. They're quiet. They sneak up on you.
Yeah.
And then they lower down to the ice, like 16 inches, I think the guy said that I talked to. And they drill their holes right through the shack or the snow bear with these electric augers. And they never even exit the vehicle. So you see them, they cruise along, and all of a sudden they stop, they lower, and they just sit in there. And then all of a sudden the thing raises up and off it goes.
It's like they're about to pounce on you.
it's like a little closer
every time.
I know.
Yeah, they don't move like long ways. We're talking like they'll move here and then they'll go 20 feet and then they'll drop again and fish in 20 feet. And pretty soon they were like 100 yards from you and all of a sudden they're like next to your
ice. You look out and they're like right there. You're like, where'd they come from?
Because they're quiet. You don't hear them. They just,
It's like a cat going after its prey, sneaking up and cowering down and crawling a little bit and cowering down.
So that being said, we all want one.
We do.
Yeah. They're scarier than the conservation officers.
A conservation officer in a snow bear would be.
Oh.
They would serve and protect wonderfully. Yeah.
But then, as a taxpayer, can we use it? Because we bought that for that CO.
You try that with their boat or their snowmobile. Yeah. See how that goes.
No,
I've tried.
I think the advantage would be is like if you had the one fellow was saying if you had like cattle or something, you'd use it as an agricultural machine to go check on your cattle.
Yes. Yes.
However, living in town, I don't know that. I don't know what type of business I could run that I could.
So that was cool though. Those guys that we talked to, we went to the bait shop in the morning and got our bait. Ed's bait. I mean, they were pretty nice to us there. And there's these two old guys sipping on coffee. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say they were old, but they were older than us. And
they called us the young guys.
Okay, then we're safe. We're safe. So, yeah, we just
chatted. Which felt good, which immediately endeared us to them.
Yeah. I can't even remember how old I am.
So we chatted with them for a few minutes. I mean, everybody was really friendly here. So we chatted with them, and we just thought, okay, that was nice. And we told them kind of where we were going. They told them where they were going, just had a little conversation. We're out fishing, and then Snow Bear rolls up, and we're like, wow, why is this guy so close to us? And out hops one of the guys from the bait shop. Yep. Hey, how are you guys doing? I'm going to go fish over there. And it was pretty cool. I mean, everybody's really friendly, and it was like one of those cool moments where, you know, you imagine yourself sitting at the bait shop every morning, having coffee, and then just going out fishing when you're maybe a little older and retired.
Well, and where we found them when we saw them out on the lake after they had visited us.
Yep.
They were sitting right between two other snow bears who they knew were guides.
Yeah.
Wasn't a big coincidence why they were sitting where they were sitting.
Yeah, no, and I think everybody we've met and talked to out here has been pretty friendly and pretty forthcoming with information about, hey, this is where you should be at catching fish, not... You know, sometimes people are more close-lipped about that information. It was really cool about that. And in fact, on Monday, put a small lead on Ole as far as the number of fish I was catching. I got that information.
Some people are just rude.
I got that information. So I'm was on Facebook, and some fellow was posting on the Devil's Lake Facebook site that he had pretty good luck in spite of the fact of it being slow. So I just shot him a message and I said, hey, any advice? What are you guys doing? Because we were experiencing a very slow bite. And he's like,
well, zero fish.
Which was zero at that point. And he's like, well, let me guess. They're coming up, looking at it and going down. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. He goes, yeah. So what we did, and this is something I've never done. I mean, I've used versions of this with a drop chain. So a small lure, they sell a lure. But what he said they did is they took, in this case, a pink buckshot, took the treble off of it, and then tied a piece of mono between the bottom hook or the bottom clevis and the treble, moved that hook down about 3 inches, and then the fish were biting. And that's what I did Monday night. And I would say it was very successful as far as that goes. So that's just something I hadn't considered when fish were doing that peekaboo stuff with you. And it's definitely a tactic I will absolutely use in the future. So, what did you think about that tactic, Sean?
We're fishing with a millennial. He's on social media learning how to fish.
Sometimes when your back's against the wall, you need to take the advice of a random internet dude.
So
hope for the best.
I had my my number 6 Gamakatsu Fire Red hooked on with the bobber. And then I proceeded to set up exactly what Jason described, and then I olified it.
He olified it. He did not do what the random internet dude said to do.
So I had the new Northland glow spoon with the red glow stick in it, and then I put a fast snap on the bottom, which gave me about another half inch away, stuck a minnow head on the shaft of a treble, so there's no way the walleye can steal my bait. Put that on there, and then I put a stinger hook off of the bottom of that and put a whole minnow on it. So I was trying to protect my title going in.
He was working hard. I bet you worked on that outfit for like 30 minutes. Nope.
And then it just ended in a car crash. So, yeah, it worked. I only caught 3 fish, but 2 of them were on the full minnow, and 1 took the head at the treble. And then I switched up to a buckshot without the dropper because I only had like maybe 10 minutes before it was going to be just dead.
Right.
But I had to do a last-ditch effort to try and beat Dave's fish.
But that's because when Ole does something, he has to think about it. And it takes him a half hour to rig something up. So fishing would be over.
That's by not then. True. That took about 45 minutes.
It was quite big. I think I woke up and fell asleep 3 times during the time you were trying to rig that.
So the one thing that brings up, though, talking about the time, like many lakes, and to Jason's sadness, Devil's Lake is a daytime lake. Once the sun goes down.
One of the resorts that has fish houses out, sleeper houses, was saying there has been some bit of a night bite. They're catching some fish throughout the night.
You're kidding me. People who rent sleeper houses?
No, I'm not.
Two people who sleep on them all night are going to tell you that they catch fish at night?
They don't lie. It's North Dakota. People don't lie in North Dakota. It's a very honest state. Have you ever heard people say all their liars are from North Dakota? That doesn't even sound right.
It doesn't sound right, but anyways. All right. Well, we should probably get to wrapping this up here. I don't know if we want to each do a parting thought and just one thing about the trip this year.
So, Sean, do you have any parting thoughts?
I've created 3 contraptions, and I've got a fish on all of them, which is always kind of fun to catch something on something with something you made. So that was probably the highlight for me, is catching 2 walleyes on my tip-up box.
Well, and your box did good because you could put... We kind of got away from that. So I'm going to interrupt your thought to ask you more about your box. So, Sean, parting thoughts that you have from the trip?
I think Devil's Lake is a pretty awesome destination. Fishing wasn't what we had hoped it would be. But weather wasn't with us, right?
Yep.
Strong winds, real cold.
Mm-hmm.
We were marking fish, but just not eager to bite. The doldrums of the winter, but you make the best of it. So it was fun. I'd come up here again. I mean, we had a 23 walleye day yesterday. That doesn't happen all the time or everywhere you go.
Absolutely.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Dave?
Well, it's always fun getting together with all you 4.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, always catching the largest fish. My comment before we came up, I took a picture of the trophy and said, I should just leave this at home, right?
Yeah, he did say that.
Why do we invite him with
thing? Some things you do for tradition, it's just how it is.
It's just skill.
It's just how it is.
So you're good with that, Dave? You're just tradition. That's the only way.
It's all skill.
Well, and we need the sleds and the
box. Yeah, you need my 2 snowmobiles.
Skill.
We need your skill.
All they do is just invite me for all my augers and flip over shacks and my snowmobiles. That's the only reason why I get to
come. No, we enjoy your humor.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Jeff, what are your thoughts?
I think the fishing wasn't as good for me as it was from the other one. You guys had a little more luck in your shack. I have never caught perch of that size and of that volume. Maybe you'll get a random one. I know Ole caught a really big one on Lake of the Woods once, but you know, it was one fish, right? I mean, these were like piles of them. I mean, I think we all had our personal best perch, if not personal best, very close, and we all caught them. So I don't think there's anywhere else I've ever seen where you can catch perch like that. I was surprised when we cleaned them how little, even those big ones, you know, a 14-inch walleye is going to give you way more, a nicer fillet than even those big, big perch.
That's because you didn't take the cheek meat off.
Oh, well, that's what it was. So I thought that was really cool. The walleyes, I think we're in the doldrums or something, because we did catch a lot of walleyes, but they weren't very big. Like, they were kind of small. I mean, I know that sounds like whining, but, you know, I wish we could have found some bigger fish. But it was good. I mean, I would come back again. I would just not come back in February. I'd come back in January or I'd come back in March, but not February.
I was going to try and get cheap meat, but I'll send my filet knife food on the disposal.
We'll tell that story in a minute. Yeah. All right, Jason?
So I think what I really like about Devil's Lake is the ability to target panfish during the day and real quality panfish to go after perch. And then, because the one problem we have, and I think a lot of people struggle, is this, the morning bite is going to be from, you know, a half hour before sunrise to a half hour after for walleye. And when you're with a group, it's really hard to get everybody up and to get there. Just because you're up late, you're telling stories, and it's just the reality of you need sleep. So the ability then to fish perch throughout the day and not miss a bite, but because the perch will bite during the day and then target walleyes for a night bite, I think it makes it really a lake that's interesting. Because we've had, you know, like you go to Lake of the Woods and we target walleyes, and the walleyes bite a little bit sporadically through the day, but you just have a night bite right before sun or sunset. So I like that ability to really have a quality fishing day all day. And then I think the people out here are great. Everybody's been real friendly. And I like going to any fishery where you know you really have that opportunity to tie into a record fish. And this one definitely gives you that ability.
For sure.
So,
and I think that's maybe what tainted it for me a little bit was the stories, because I had a few people tell me, I'm like, oh, walleyes only get to like 32, 33. They're like, oh no, I've seen 34s, 36s out of this lake. And I'm like, Holy cow, I didn't know they got that big. So maybe my expectations were maybe a little too high.
But I think that's the cool part. You know, when you're that is hard because we're always, you know, slave to those expectations.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's like when you go to the Lake of the Woods and you have an average fishing day, and which would be an awesome fishing day for any other lake. And you're like, gosh, it was okay for Lake of the Woods, or, you know, and we kind of experienced that here. If we had been on some random lake somewhere else, we'd be like, God, that was the greatest fishing ever. But you're at Devil's Lake, and you're like, gosh, we expected to have to back a pickup up to put all our fish in it.
We always set ourselves up.
Oh, yeah.
With way too high of expectations.
The hype. We have the hype.
But it's once a year, so you're going to have the hype.
Yeah.
It builds and builds and builds and builds. Yeah.
But his hype is, maybe I'll take that trophy home.
Which didn't happen. Again.
I've had that for a couple of years, just so just not recently.
But there was one trophy we talked about. That it's not a trophy, it's a monetary prize, right? And who got that this year?
Oh, the Fisherman of the Year?
Fisherman of the Year. Who was that? Who was that?
Somebody from a different country.
Iowa. It was an Iwegian.
An Iwegian. So I have to, I was going to leave this out, but since no one's mentioned it yet, but I did get Fisherman of the Year this year, and I really appreciate that vote from everybody, because I had a heck of a good time.
But he's not a friend and share information on how he's catching them or what he's using.
Got a little competitive there.
No, I...
You're a little salty.
Said exactly what I was doing. I said a random internet guy told me to do this.
Well, and, you know, Jeff and I are...
doing everything I told him to do. Yeah.
But Jeff and I are in another shack. We're not marking much or anything. They're not biting. And these two guys, and they're in another shack. And... they never tell us that, oh, we're catching fish over here and stuff. Are you guys catching fish? They won't say a word. Nothing. So it's like, whatever. Whatever.
Every time we asked you guys a question, this is what we heard back. So it's just pointless.
Well, just let it go.
All right.
All right. So we end every show with a legend.
Yeah, we've got one. A brand new one.
This is such a new legend.
Hot still off the press.
It's got eggshell on it yet. It's so brand new.
Yeah, well, or maybe it got
or fish guts.
Fish guts on it. So who wants to tell? I wasn't in. It's like one of them classic moments where you step outside. I went to get some Ziplocs out of the truck, and I come back and like, the whole world had changed.
So I think I'll start it out, and then we'll get Ollie's perspective, because he got the second part of the story. So we, in Devil's Lake, they have this really, really nice fish cleaning place. It's heated. You get your fish. You drive past it on your way home. You can go in there. It's warm. They have two giant tables that are set up for cleaning fish. And in the middle of these tables are the world's biggest garbage disposals, right?
Yeah, it's a fish grinder.
It's a fish grinder. So the first night we were there, we saw these guys spear some pretty big northern. So that's the other cool thing about it is when you go in there, you can kind of see what some other people are catching that you wouldn't see in other places. So we're cleaning fish, and we saw these guys have these big northerns, and they're cleaning them. And what you do is there's a button on the side of the wall, and you push the button, and it starts this big garbage disposal, and water goes down it. And so we watch these guys with the big northerns. You put one fish at a time. They throw this northern head in there, or northern body, and the table shakes, and you're like, whoa, you know, it kind of does that. So that was kind of just to set up what this place looks like. We should have taken a picture of it, but we didn't. The next night, we bring in our walleyes that we kept, and we all clean them, and we have four fillet knives. We don't have that many fish. We had eight keepers, I think, that we kept. And so we clean those up, and we're cleaning off the table. And the table's like that kind of cutting board material, right?
Yep.
And what you do is you clean them up, and then you switch on the garbage disposal. There's a button on the wall. And you push the button, and it starts up, you know, the garbage disposal, and water pours in there. And you kind of feed your fish in one by one. So we started this process. We're feeding in fish, and I'm kind of at one end of the table, and I skinned my fillets, and then I'm like, there's hoses hanging from the ceiling, right? So Ollie's over there. Actually, I moved because Ollie was spraying off the table, and it was kind of hitting me, so I'm like, I'll move down to the end of the table.
So it was Ollie's fault.
No, it wasn't Ollie's fault. So I'm trying to clean off my table part, and there is my two fillets, and then my fillet knife. And so I grab the hose off of there, and I start hosing off the table to push the water into the big grinder. And the water stream hits my fillet knife. And I see it go flying pretty fast. And I have that moment in my head, oh, crap, I should do something about it. And then your mind kicks in and goes, no, this is a time where you just stand back, because this is not... Don't go grabbing the knife. Don't go sticking your head in a meat grinder. Because the thing was running at this time. It's water's pouring out. So then I think this is where Ollie takes over, because I like just stood back. I'm like, oh, this is going to be bad. And then,
so I'm doing the same thing. I'm spraying the table, and Dave is following with the squeegee. And all of a sudden I see a knife, and it's headed towards the disposal. And oh, crap wasn't probably the right I literally thought I could lose my sight in the next split second. I didn't know what was going to happen. But it was very loud and a lot of just metal grinding going on. And Dave runs to the wall and he's like pushing the panic button.
And it doesn't stop.
Nothing's working. I wish I had that part on film. I thought he was going to slip and fall when he ran to the wall, and then he just bam, 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 trying to push it.
Because there's three buttons and they're not labeled.
Like, it's not stopping. And then finally we come to terms with the fact that, well, the knife is gone.
Yeah.
So far, nothing has flown out and impaled anyone or anything. We just lost a knife. So best case scenario happened, right?
Yep.
So it all kind of calms down. But I think we all still had that starry look in our eyes. And Jason comes into the door, and he just looked at me, and he's like, I just missed something big. I just shook my head like, you have no idea. And then the two guys that were just busy doing their own thing.
They never moved this whole time. They just were cleaning fish on the other table.
Somebody walks over there like 10 minutes later and says, yeah, we just sent a knife through the grinder. And they just kind of looked up and politely said, Yeah, we were here. And started kind of chuckling. They were very nice about it. Probably thinking, who are these clowns?
Yeah. They were doing their best, like there's this train wreck going on. And they're just like, yeah, we're just doing our own thing over here. We're going to not acknowledge unless acknowledged.
Well, and then luckily there's a phone number on the wall. So I didn't have my cell phone with me. So Jason, of course, gives me his cell phone. He wasn't going to call. Gives me a cell phone and says, you need to call. So we called him, and I talked to this guy on the phone. He's like, yep, I'll be there in 5 minutes. And he was repairing the disaster that we had created. And he wasn't even that upset about it. He was just kind of like, all right, went, came over, went behind a door, got a screwdriver, you know, started fishing it out, and we left.
Cause we bailed before things changed.
Yeah.
He didn't say wait for the cops or nothing. So, no, we so left. It's like, it's time to get out of here while they're getting scared.
Yeah.
What about another one that you didn't have your phone with on the same day?
We need two legends in one day. Oh, of
yeah. Yeah, it's all happened in the same day. It's a legend.
Jeff had a tough day yesterday.
It was a tough. So the morning starts out with we're getting ready. We have to drive like a half an hour to our fishing spot, even though we're on the same lake. We just have to drive there because it's too many bridges and stuff in the way. I remote start the traverse. Dave's truck's out there running, and we're packing our stuff up and getting ready. I walk outside, and I put my key in the ignition, turn it. The car's already running, and then I shut the door. I don't exactly know what the order of events that made this happen because I did not lock the doors or anything, but there we are, getting ready to go. My car is running with the keys locked inside the car.
With the phone inside the car.
So yes. We are nearly ready to go.
Yep. Yeah, we were on the final countdown.
Yeah, so Jason, Dave, and I are standing behind the trailer about 40 feet away, and I look up and I see Jeff staring at his truck, and something's off. And so I'm like, Jeff, are you okay? Yeah.
I thought he was having a seizure.
But the look in his eye led me to believe, no, something's wrong. And so I followed up with, what's wrong? And then it took about 30 seconds for you to finally respond.
Right.
And you said, I just locked the keys in the car and it's running. So it was an easy solution. Call the wife. She gives us the OnStar number because we don't have internet connectivity with the phones that weren't already locked in the car as well to get the number. But they were able to unlock it remotely. But after understanding what had happened, you knew what was going through his head.
Hell yeah.
He was just trying to contemplate what just happened.
Yeah, been there, done that.
In disbelief that it really happened.
Oh, because it can, without that OnStar thing, that would have been, it would have been an absolute day killer. That because
that would have killed a few
You would have had to wait, you know, and it's.
We would have had to have waited.
Well.
Toll company.
2 to 3 hours less to start catching fish than we did, is the way it is. Exactly. We would have burned pounds less appropriate.
Yes. Yes.
Which technically we didn't have to get out to the lake.
No, really.
5 o'clock. 5 o'clock to catch fish.
Would have worked yesterday.
But yeah, OnStar saved me that time because I just called them up and I said, hey, I'm locked out of my car. And they sent the signal and it unlocked and we were on our way within probably 5 minutes.
Yeah, it really didn't matter. I mean, actually, the car was finally warmed up.
Yeah.
So
it was still. Yeah.
All right. Well, I suppose we better hit the road. We all got a long drive today and they're calling for another snowstorm. Figure that out.
Yep.
Here's a new one for you. And I can't count.
I've got a long nap ahead of me.
I bet 15 out of 20 trips I drive home in a snowstorm, it seems like. But anyway.
60% of the time it happens every time.
Absolutely. But it's worth it every year. So I want to thank everybody for listening today. Big thanks to Ole and Dave for joining us on the podcast.
They are real. They are real
people. We could put pictures of them.
Yeah, we'll get some pictures.
I don't know if they want their face on the internet. Or
I didn't know if we'd ever actually get on this show. But it makes sense that you guys did it because I always thought you had a face for radio.
That is the truth. Absolutely. In fact, when I took that picture of the perch and put it on the internet, I edited it out in my head. It's like, you don't need to see my face, folks. So thanks again, everybody. Have a great night.
Special thanks this week to Trapper Shep for letting us use the Fishing Blues as the Hardwater Fishing Show theme song. And a special thanks to Ole and Dave for being guests. And a special thanks to the state of North Dakota and Devil's Lake for a great time fishing.
I bet you're going fishing all the time, my baby, going fishing too. I bet your life, your sweet wife, will catch more fish than you. Many fish bite if you got coupe, yeah, here's a little tip I'd like to relay. Many fish bite if you got coupe, yeah, I'm going fishing, my baby going fishing, I'm going fishing too. Big brother by out of my mind, say, can I go fishing with you? I took him on down to the fishing hole. Now what do you think he'd do? Pull the catfish by the bottom of the pond. Now he's laughing, jumping, he was real gone. Yeah, man, fish by if you got cool bait. Yeah, I'ma go fishing, my brother going fishing, I'ma go fishing too. Baby, put them in the pan, cook them till they're nice and brown. You can catch them, release them out that trophy fish up just to keep them around. Any fish bite if you got cool.